neurologist, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
Look, I don't know what's going to happen tonight, but boy, is it exciting.
With Dan the Mo Flabransky.
Everyone has a price.
And Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
In clear violation of the law.
We have just watched 7 hours of professional wrestling. So, hey, why not add a couple more talking about it? Welcome to Sunday night's main event right here on TSN Radio. My name is Jason Agnew, joined, as always, on pay-per-view nights by Dan the Mouth Lavransky. It's my favorite event of the year, but I mean, I don't need 7 hours of it, Mouth.
Absolutely. This was a super long event, but lots of stuff to talk about, lots of interesting developments in the storylines, lots of interesting stuff with the characters, and we are going to run it all down right now for you.
We got 2 hours, even though we're on an hour later tonight because WWE just decided to do an extra hour. We're still going to stick with you for 2 hours. Meltzer's going to join us at 1 a.m. tonight. Your phone calls in the first hour, that's our phone. Focus on pay-per-view nights, 1-866-729-2562. Dial in now. We're going to be going to phones as we run on down the pay-per-view and the pre-show and the show that just kept going. But it's the Royal Rumble. It's the most significant event of the WWE calendar, according to this guy. So we're going to talk about it, and we hope that you join along. Taking a break, coming on back, and running it down. Sunday night's main event right here on TSN Radio.
Asuka just smothering Becky Lynch. Oh, my goodness. Look at this. Unbelievable by Asuka. And a tap out by Lynch. Asuka retained by tap out. Becky Lynch is in the Women's Royal Rumble match. Oh, Charlotte Flair. Charlotte Flair set over the top. Set over the top. Charlotte Flair. Charlotte Flair's been eliminated. Becky Lynch is going to WrestleMania.
Hey, welcome back. It's Sunday night's main event. It is Royal Rumble night here. It was a 7-hour event. We have been in the same chair for 7 hours. Oh, my goodness. It's sweaty and smelly
it's
in
disgusting.
This room at this point.
Yeah, it is.
But that's just due to our poor AC in here. However, it was an event that was basically the first half of the event,
yes.
Dan Lavransky.
Yes.
It was positioned in a way tonight where we kind of watched a women's pay-per-view and then watched the men's pay-per-view. And the man, Becky Lynch, I mean, there was a woman in the men's battle royal, but it was not her. We will get to that. But tonight, not what I expected, I don't think, out of this.
No, I mean, last week we sat down and we made all our predictions of what we thought was going to happen, and there were a lot of variables in place and a lot of things we didn't know. We didn't know if Becky lost her match, would she go in the Rumble? Would Finn go in the Rumble? We were trying to figure out all this stuff. Well, it was all answered tonight. And yeah, very, very interesting. But because of the way things played out, they had to kind of lay the pay-per-view out the way they did, and they had to get those women's matches out of the way before we got to the Women's Rumble.
Well, let's kick things off here. You know what, Mouth? Let's switch things up. Let's go to a couple phone calls, and let's run it on down. I mean, I know we're on a little bit later tonight, so we're going to have our time to talk, but let's get instant feedback. These are the pay-per-view shows are our live shows, and this is our focus. 1-866-729-2562. You guys have put in your time watching this show.
Yes.
Some of you might be very angry, and I could see the first person that is on the line,
being one of those?
Maybe. Greg from the Peg is where we want to go first here. He's on line 3. Greg, always lovely to hear from you, and I'm very curious of your thoughts on tonight's Royal Rumble.
Happy 2K19 to both of you.
Thank you.
I'm probably, the hamster in the wheel is pretty well good. I was hoping Charlotte would win the female Royal Rumble because I'm a huge, huge Charlotte fan since she had that epic performance at Evolution and the previous pay-per-views. But I'm kind of happy to see where Charlotte will be going.
Where do you think she's going though, Greg? I mean, do you think she's going to settle the score with Asuka now, and they're getting away from this Becky thing?
I think Probably so, or I could see Charlotte versus Ronda for the Raw title, and then you put Becky and on the
SmackDown side of things? Oh, I don't think so.
No, I don't think the other way around.
Yeah, I think it's the other way around for sure. There's history there.
Then Rollins will go to face Bryan and Strowman, Lesnar, and that's your main four matches for WrestleMania New York, New Jersey version 2.0. And I would like to say this. I'm starting to watch NXT.
Yeah.
And the kickoff show for NXT TakeOver Phoenix. I know I'm not. I like to give people in the media business some good work and stuff, and give them dap and stuff.
Okay, so what are we talking about?
Marwanalo and the British guy doing superb work.
That's Nigel McGuinness. The
Greg.
British guy has a name. His name's Nigel McGuinness.
Thank you. Yeah. No, we got to go, Greg. We have a whole bunch of phone calls. Thank you very much for the phone call. Greg brought up a great point, and it's not about the British guy.
Okay.
It's about Rollins challenging Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
Interesting it little is. Bit that came out at the end of this show tonight with that possibility.
Yeah, no, I think that would be a great way for them to go because it freshens things up. It's a match we haven't seen. I mean, to put him in there with Brock, I don't really think anybody wants to see that. So I think definitely Rollins will go for Daniel Bryan.
San Antonio's from Miami, and he's on line two. What's happening, pal?
Hey, what's going on, Aggie? First and foremost, I'd like to tell everyone to subscribe to the Patreon.
Oh, thank you very much for doing so. Much appreciate. We try to give you some bonus content. Dave and I did a show reviewing NXT TakeOver last night.
Wonderful show. Wonderful show. And first and foremost, I loved Drunk Shawn Michaels on commentary in the pre-show. He was great.
Okay, yeah. I was hoping he was going to get into the match, but I didn't really notice he was inebriated. I just thought that was Shawn Michaels now.
It's his gimmick, I guess.
Yeah.
Also, Brock Lesnar put on a showing tonight. Very blessed that he did that. He worked for Finn Balor. He really put the showing in, and what a champion, you know? He's the baddest man on the planet, and what a champion.
I really enjoyed that match, as we'll talk about as we run it on down. I thought it did well for both. I didn't care for the beatdown at the end of it, but I liked the match. And you know what? Brock has a real thing. He likes to work with guys of that size.
That's true.
And look to be in peril and also toss him around.
Yeah.
He really worked his butt off today, you know? Great champion, you know? One of the best, baddest men. He didn't have to do that for Finn Balor, and he did. And what a legitimate... great man, you know?
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for the phone call and your feedback. All right, Mouth, let's get into running this thing down. I just wanted to get a couple phone calls.
Yep.
We are going to continue to do that throughout tonight's show. 1-866-729-2562. We are live. Now, this thing started at 5 o'clock tonight, and there was a really weird situation that took place on the pre-show, Mouth. And okay, we can hang up on the caller. Okay, great.
There
thanks.
We go.
Okay, so Kayla is with Drake Maverick, who says Akam is injured, but Rezar still wants a tag title shot. So it's been proposed that Akam will team with Scott Dawson from The Revival. But there is no mention of Dash Wilder and why they're doing this combination here. If you look at Dash Wilder's Twitter, he just posted up a waving hand like he was saying goodbye. It was very, very strange. And that actually did start us off tonight. Bobby Roode and Chad Gable versus Scott Dawson and... I guess it's... Wait, who's injured? And Rezar. I don't know why this match is happening.
There was no reason for the match. It was nothing that was talked about before today. And if you had an issue with one of the guys from The Revival not being there, why would you even bother doing this? Like, it was really, really strange. Plus, we had all those rumors that there was talk of The Revival leaving to go to AEW, which they can't do. They're locked into, like, 2020. This was just kind of weird. And there was no reason for it, and it led to nothing.
It led to nothing. That was a great point.
Like,
I mean, we were watching and you're like, why did they do that? Because The Revival lost this. Well, not The Revival, but Scott Dawson got pinned by Bobby Roode and Chad Gable.
Yeah.
Dawson took the pin. So if they were going to have Rezar or Dawson win, then there's a bit of a point to this, right? But there's zero point to what they did here.
Unless it was punishment for some weird punishment thing. I don't know. But it was a weird thing to start with. Thankfully, it was the first match on the pre-show, so probably most of you didn't see it anyways.
U.S. title was next. Rusev, your champion, going in with Lana versus Nakamura. Rusev Rusev mistakenly takes out Lana in this match, immediately yells at her to, Lana, get up! Like, it was very funny.
It was kind of silly. It was like the last thing you think you would do at her was, like, it was like, get up so I know you're all right or something. So it was very silly. Yeah, it was the classic thing. She gets knocked off, and then Nakamura gives him the knee and pins him, so he wins the title back. So Nakamura has the U.S. title back.
Why? Again. Why?
Well, especially since Nakamura was in the Battle Royal later on, he's already got a title.
On top of that, I like Rusev with this belt. You know, maybe it's just my traditional, hey, the Russian with the U.S. title, sure. And I kind of enjoy that. But still, I think it means a lot more to Rusev than it does to Nakamura. Nakamura just had it, Mouth.
And does the feud continue? Is that the end of the feud? Do we still see these guys? And that's the thing. Rusev barely had it for like a cup of coffee. I was very surprised they switched it so quickly.
This match was here so Lana could get an ankle injury.
Oh, so they could do that angle, what they do with her later in the Battle Royal.
That is whole reason why this match was here.
You could have still done it with... I don't know why you need to switch the title.
I don't know, Mouth. I
don't
know.
A lot of I don't know.
There's going to be quite a few of those. If you can explain it, then call in. There's a recap of NXT last night, and they showcased the brawl that happened after NXT TakeOver. Michaels then announces they're doing halftime heat. It's a six-man tag match. That's why they did this angle.
Yes.
It's Black, Ricochet, Velveteen Dream versus Gargano, Ciampa, and Adam Cole. It's happening. It's halftime heat. So they're going back to doing that on the WWE Network for the big game next week, also known as the Super Bowl, if you're allowed to say it.
So as soon as the Super Bowl hits halftime, if you put the network on, you'll see this match.
Better than Maroon 5.
I totally agree with that.
Cruiserweight title match. Kalisto, Akira Tozawa, Hideo Itami, and Buddy Murphy's your champion. There were some crazy spots in this.
It was a good match. These guys worked really hard. It wasn't a surprise to me to have Buddy Murphy retain. But they did make a point, it seemed, in the commentary to really put over Hideo Itami. I don't know.
Really? Heavy-handedly.
I almost thought he was going to win by the way the commentary was going. They were really putting him over, so I don't know if this is a renewed push for him because he really hasn't had one for a long time or what the plan was, but they did leave it on Buddy Murphy.
That they did. And no surprise there. I mean, I haven't seen really, a worthy contender. And I would think that maybe, Mouth, with this tournament that's happening, I haven't looked at the results of the tournament, but you have the tournament, and perhaps the winner there could go after the 205 Live title.
Right.
I'm not sure what title they're going to choose to go after, depending on who won that. I should really look that up. The official event begins as we're 2 hours in. SmackDown Women's Championship opens the show.
Yes.
And we found out why. It's Asuka's your champion going in versus Becky Lynch. It was a surprise. There was lots of striking in this match. And they definitely, I found, were pacing themselves at the beginning of the match, though. Did you find this?
Yeah, I thought so as well. I thought, overall, it wasn't a bad match. I liked the idea of them trying to use each other's submissions on each other. I thought that was kind of cool. I did think the crowd would be a little bit more into it. I didn't think they were quite as vocal, especially the way the Becky seems to be so popular lately. But and the finish was Asuka getting the Asuka lock on with a bridge, actually, and Becky ended up tapping out. And so at that point, well, because the match started first and the result of the match, both Jay and I kind of went, okay, she's showing up in the Rumble.
I didn't know which Rumble, though. I mean, with her nickname of the Man, I thought perhaps she would be in the Men's Rumble and win that.
Yeah, I honestly didn't think they would do that. But like you said, they did surprise us with a woman in the men's match. But I honestly didn't think they would do that with Becky.
I would have liked Becky a lot more than what I saw
with
Nia. Though I was that Attitude Era stuff we were talking about with the sexy vignettes is now the man on woman type of thing that was happening there.
That's
with the
true.
RKO that was delivered and the 619, so kind of surprising there. All right, actually not a 619, but just the RKO. So we then get the SmackDown Tag Team Championship, your favorite, the Miz and Shane McMahon, which I will now be calling Miz Man,
all right.
Versus the Bar. The Bar, your champions going in, but not coming out. Mouth, this whole thing to me felt like Shane was rescuing the Miz the entire match.
Right.
Shane was the better performer. I mean, after all, he's the best in the world.
Oh, jeez. This one worked out. I mean, again, nothing I didn't expect in this one. I kind of thought that these guys are going to win the tag titles, and they'll be a tag team for a bit, and then something will happen, and they'll feud with each other. You know, they did all the regular stuff. Shane tried to do his coast-to-coast jump, but thankfully, Cesaro stopped him. And then Cesaro grabbed him and gave him the major spin.
It's a great spot.
He really spun him for a long time there. But then Shane got him in a triangle, but Cesaro lifted him up, and then Sheamus missed a brogue kick, and Miz gave Sheamus the skull-crushing finale, and then Shane gave Cesaro a shooting star press. Can you believe that? A shooting star press, and pinned him. So McMahon got to do all his big spots, and this worked out just the way I thought it would.
A new shooting
star
press?
That one was.
And listen, I know you don't like Shane, but you got to admit, pretty good shooting star press.
It looked great. I just have never liked him as a character. I can't take him seriously, and I refuse to take him seriously, especially when he dances during the match. I can't get into that. It's not dance break time with Shane McMahon.
He was the original dance break.
I guess.
As in, he dances and I take a break from watching.
Exactly.
Raw Women's Championship was next, which did surprise me here. Sasha Banks versus Ronda Rousey. Rousey, of course, your champion. The storyline of this was who is better at submissions, which to me blew my mind because, let's face it, it's Ronda Rousey. I still have a hard time separating because I just watched her in UFC for so long before this, and it's like, who's better at submissions? Well, clearly, one of the two here. Also, this was Rousey proving she can wrestle.
Yeah, I mean, that was that whole gimmick with Sasha kept saying, you're not a wrestler, you're not a wrestler, right? And this was kind of her trying to say, yes, I can wrestle.
Lots of armbar attempts here. You had Ronda also try to go for the Three Amigos spot, but Sasha interrupted it. And you had Ronda getting an armbar outside the ring on Sasha, and Sasha tapping, but it doesn't count. That was a nice spot, I thought.
Yeah, they did work each other's arm quite a bit, but Rousey did win eventually with what they call the Piper's Pit Slam now, and she pinned Sasha. They did the respect angle afterwards, and Sasha was actually walking away crying, and they actually met again in the aisle and shook hands, so like...
No. They shook hands, but then along with that, Sasha put up her hand as in four. She's won it four times, right? So she's a four-time champ. To me, it doesn't make sense, though, because Sasha has had it four times. That means she's lost the belt four times, right? Sasha's had it for a total of 80 days. Ronda, in one run, has already doubled that at 161 days.
Yeah.
This, how many times you're a champion, is dumb.
Mm-hmm.
It's stupid.
Yeah.
It's how long you've held the belt for. You know, Bruno.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Punk's run that he did was excellent and how he ran it. It's not how many times, it's how long you have it.
No, very true.
We continue on there. Also, we missed the fact, you know, Ronda got a big smoocheroo from Travis Brown, who is at ringside.
Oh, yes. That wasn't that a delight.
All right, Mouth. It's the Women's Royal Rumble. This is what we mean. It's like women's match.
Yeah, except for the tag match, the whole first half was the women.
We're watching Women of Wrestling, and the first Women of Wrestling we see in this match is Lacey Evans, and I don't think this was a wise choice because I don't know how much of the crowd actually knew who she was.
Yeah, that's the thing. You gotta remember, we haven't really... And they put a few new people in this one, and her especially, though, all we've seen is a little vignette with her looking sexy in some different outfits. That's it. We haven't seen anything about her. So to put her in first, and to put her in here, too, in a match like this, because matches like a Rumble match, they kind of expose your weaknesses, I think,
well,
right?
Well, I think off the top, Mouth, we got some exposure. She's fine on the mic, and I think that was their plan here,
right?
Is they wanted to introduce her. So I guess maybe an okay idea. They put her in with Natalya Neidhart. And
which is not surprising.
No.
To help let Natty kind of lead her through.
But you had Lacey fall on her butt and miss a kip up when they were supposed to be doing these things together, and it didn't look good. Then after this, Mandy Rose comes in. After that, Liv Morgan comes in. Is this a rib on Natty?
Yeah, exactly.
Three blondes that have trouble?
Keep all these girls in check at the beginning of the match. Yeah, yeah.
Continuing on, just interrupt me when you've got some spots to talk about here, Mouth. So, I got the Liv Morgan as number four, Mickie James, Ember Moon, Billie Kay. I'm going to stop it here.
No, this was great.
I was so excited.
Too. It was very funny.
I was so excited. Billie Kay comes out, and she's just yelling, I'm not getting into the ring until Peyton gets here. We're a team.
Yeah.
She'll be out soon. Don't worry. And she stands there, and I'm like,
oh my goodness, is she just going to wait for Billy?
And she's
just going to wait for Peyton? Wish she was number 29.
I was really hoping they would give a really long stretch before she came out.
And then even better, I thought they had gone to it again where Nikki Cross comes out and attacks Billy. And I was like, oh my goodness, is everyone just going to attack Billy? And then finally Peyton will come out. Like, this could have been so funny, a complete running gag. But instead, after Nikki Cross comes out, Billy Kay goes after her and runs in the ring. And then all of a sudden, Peyton Royce comes out as number 9.
So that's it, exactly. There was only, one person before. Yeah,
I had such high expectations.
I was hoping for a good 10 or 12 spots or something before the Peyton came out. And I was like, Billy Kay should have just grabbed a chair and just like sat there at ringside and just waited for her. I thought that would have been pretty funny.
I thought there was a really great gag. Anyhow, Tamina comes out after that. She eliminates Mickie James, which I thought was quite silly. Xia Li comes out. She is from NXT. Tamina throws her in the air, and she's supposed to do a flip. She kind of botches that, though. Not a good start there. Sarah Logan comes out. Then Nikki Cross is eliminated by the Iconics, which I was surprised. I thought Nikki Cross would stick around for a little bit longer.
Mm.
Number 13 was Charlotte. And then the Iconics were eliminated by Lacey Evans. Xia Li was eliminated by Charlotte. Kairi Sane comes in, and then Tamina is eliminated by Charlotte. Kairi gets an insane elbow onto Sarah Logan, and then Sarah Logan is eliminated by Natty.
Yep.
Maria Kanellis comes in. And there was a point where Charlotte was yelling, "You don't belong here." And really, I felt that way as well.
Yeah,
didn't
absolutely.
You?
Oh, yeah. No, that was perfect. Yeah, that was perfect.
Naomi comes out at 16. She goes right after Mandy and eliminates Mandy. I thought this was great because then Naomi is pulled to the outside and she gets to walk around the barricade to do her spot.
Yes.
She jumps from the barricade to the stairs. This was excellent. The crowd goes nuts.
Yep. Yeah,
and Mandy pulls her feet off the steps.
Yeah,
perfect.
Well, it was because Naomi eliminated her, and then she eliminates her. They're having a feud already. Easy way to keep the feud going, right? Kind of what the Rumble is supposed to do.
Yeah. Lacey Evans is eliminated by Charlotte. Candice LeRae comes in. Alicia Fox. Maria teams with Alicia Fox and steps on her hat. This was a low point in the pay-per-view. This was really... Tom Phillips, though, is great here because he goes, the hat's not destroyed. It's really pretty durable looking. Just completely bucking what they were doing in the ring. Casey Cannizzaro comes in, which she has a really nice spot. Zelina Vega comes in at 20. Candice and Zelina face off. This was a nice throwback to NXT with Gargano and Andrade. Ruby Riott comes out with Liv and Sarah. They go after Charlotte. Zelina climbs under the ring at this point. Candice LeRae is eliminated by Ruby. Alicia Fox is eliminated by Ruby. Dana Brooke comes in. Kairi Sane is eliminated by Ruby Riott. Io Shirai comes in, and she attacks the Riott squad because they were, at this point, still attacking or really just standing there with Kairi Sane.
That's right.
What do you think of this, Mouth? I mean, this could be a tag team heading into next month.
Well, that's it. I mean, they got to have the women's for that elimination chamber match. They're going to do women's tag matches, so they need teams. So yeah, absolutely. I think those two work together as a team.
Yeah, and they're pitching them as good friends, so this could work very nicely. Io then does a moonsault onto the Riott squad. Rhea Ripley comes out, which is a fun pick to show up here in the Rumble. Casey Cannizzaro is eliminated by Dana Brooke, but she falls on her butt and her feet don't hit the ground. She then handstands, like walks on her hands.
Walks on her hands.
Over to the ring post.
Yes, it was really good.
Kofi Kingston, eat your heart out. You ain't beating this.
Yeah.
Because she then grips on the ring post and climbs on up like you're climbing a
like
tree
Spider-Man.
In the jungle. Like
Spider-Man.
It was really
it was
cool.
Yeah, it was very, very, very well done. An amazing sense of balance to walk the distance she did on her hands. That was crazy.
But then on top of that, you have she jumps on Rhea Ripley. And then Rhea Ripley does a bit of a tilt-a-whirl with her and then throws her out. I thought it was perfect because she got her spot. But listen, she's not ready. She doesn't belong there yet. And Rhea Ripley does. And I thought this power versus finesse.
Right.
And I really like what they did here.
Yep.
Sonya Deville comes in at 25. Dana Brooke eliminates Rhea Ripley. Dana Brooke was eliminated by Rhea Ripley.
That's right. That's
right. Zelina Vega peeks out. And then Dana and Hornswoggle.
She
peeks out at Dana, and Hornswoggle's also under the ring.
That's it. Vega looked out, and Hornswoggle's there beside her, which was just kind of silly. We didn't need to see that.
Then we have Zelina Vega eliminated by Rhea Ripley. Alexa Bliss comes in. Sonya Deville is eliminated by Alexa Bliss. Bayley comes out. Ruby Riott's eliminated by Bayley. Rhea Ripley eliminated by Bayley. Lana comes out. This is where it gets interesting.
Yes.
She has an ankle injury. She can barely walk. She doesn't make it to the ring. Nia Jax comes out. She eliminates Io Shirai and Natalia.
And she attacked Lana, too.
She does. She attacks Lana on the barricade, which is a cool spot. I like this. And then Carmella comes out, and then Becky walks out. And for somehow, someway, Fit Finley is attending to Lana, and Fit Finley says she can go in the ring. This is an Irish conspiracy.
Yeah, they're working together, right?
Yeah.
Working together to get it done. I thought it was kind of funny to see Fit Finley just go, yeah, well, okay, go up
ahead.
There, sure, why not?
And then we had a face-off of Nia and Becky. This was really good. There's a whole bunch of right hands to Nia, which makes total sense here. Charlotte pulls the two of them apart, and then they go out one another. So Ember Moon's eliminated by Alexa. Alexa is eliminated by Carmella and Bayley together. Carmella is eliminated by Charlotte, the final four.
Yes.
Bayley, Charlotte, Becky, Nia. It would have been really cool if it was Sasha instead of Nia here. So you could have had those four. Anyway, that's just my fantasy booking dream. Bayley's eliminated by Charlotte. A standoff with the final three, Charlotte, Becky, and Nia. Charlotte attempts to pick Nia up and throw her out, but also pretty much drops her on her head here. And then Becky is laid out outside. Charlotte then puts Nia on the apron. Becky pulls her off and out. It's Charlotte versus Becky for the final. Nia then pushes Becky off the stairs. Becky hurts her knee, so you're working over the knee, but when it comes right down to it, Becky is your winner, eliminating Charlotte. Yep. Dan Lavransky, was it satisfying for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, really, the two picks were either Charlotte or Becky, I think, in this case. And I thought it was really great. And I am a little bit disappointed, like you said, that they didn't put Sasha in it, that she didn't get to come into this match.
Yeah,
I thought she should have been in it.
There would have been a nice place with those four at the end. I think there's still some magic to those four together.
For sure.
Here's what we're going to do. That's the end of the women's pay-per-view that we just watched. We're going to take a break. We're going to come on back. We got a couple people on the line. We're going to take their phone calls. And then we're also going to get into talking about the men's, of course, championship matches. And along with that, the men's Royal Rumble as well. There were some surprises. We got guitars, but not my favorite guitar guy.
Oh, well, but that's too bad. That's with your baby tonight.
1-866-729-2562 is the number to call. It's Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
And then again, the power of Strowman. Look at Strowman. Rollins, though. Posting Strowman. Strowman still in the apron. Oh. Rollins to the midsection. One Strowman foot. Still staying alive. Rollins.
Oh.
Rollins is going to WrestleMania.
And we'll never be royals. It's the one in our blood. That kind of love just ain't for us.
Welcome back. That was the main event tonight, the Men's Royal Rumble. We will get to talking about it. Kind of predictable in the winner, but maybe not the way that they got there. There was some fun stuff. All right, I'm getting a lot of people, though, that are interacting with us on Twitter. And by the way, you can follow along with the show at SNME Radio, saying that when Sasha held up the four, it was for the four horsewoman.
Yeah.
As opposed to the four-time champion.
Been.
I mean, it could have been. They've really put that to bed, though, haven't
you
found? I know
exactly. They haven't talked about it in months.
So why would she do that for that, then?
Right.
Because it was like holding up the title versus holding up the, I don't know. I took it as I'm a four-time champion, but maybe that's just because I happened to research that recently for doing trivia and stuff and know that she's won it four times.
But that makes more sense than the horsewoman thing. I mean, it's been completely dead. It hasn't been talked about for months.
Yeah. Anyhow, a lot of people seem to think it's that way. And it really, to me, it's like that Charlotte, I would immediately think that.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
She's the flair of the group.
Yeah.
It's like, but they're not linked. They're fighting against each other for that matter.
Yeah, I don't think that's what it was.
I don't know, guys. Maybe. Who knows? Anyway, we got a whole bunch more pay-per-view to get to here. But we will do a couple phone calls in the meantime. We will sprinkle these on in throughout tonight's show so you guys don't have to wait. So let's go to Angelo, who's on the line from Brampton. Angelo, what'd you think of tonight's show?
Hey, guys. I thought the show was great right up until the Women's Rumble ended. And pretty ho-hum after that. I think the crowd was just waiting around. And, you know, the first half of that Rumble match, you got all the trash and all the gimmicky stuff out of the way. And then it got down to your true top-tier competitors. And the crowd was just, I thought they were pretty dead throughout most of the match. And then, of course, they were just waiting for Becky and the big pop and the big payoff. And they got it, which was awesome. I did think Becky should have passed out in her championship match rather than tap out.
Right.
I know I'm splitting hairs there, but you know, if you're pushing her as your strong people's champion, I don't know. I was like, she's tapping. But then, you know, it brings me back to Owen Hart beats Brett at Mania, and then Brett goes on to win the title later on in the show, and it opens up that storyline. So who knows? I thought the Brock Finn match was perfect. The AJ Bryan, you know, tough to follow that Rumble.
Yeah.
It was an odd ending. I don't really know why they did that. And the men's Rumble, the women did such a great job. I thought that match should have just gone last. And Becky is, you know, I hate bringing it back to her, but she, I think, is the biggest thing in the company, men or women. And you take your biggest pop and you put it last. And you send the fans home super happy. And, you know, they were happy Seth won, and I think it was pretty predictable. But, you know, there weren't kind of great surprises in the men's Rumble, and it was kind of like, okay. I thought the women's was off the charts, and I think it should be Becca, Ronda, main event in WrestleMania. And I don't think anything should get in the way of, you know, Becky standing tall, and, you know, Ronda can take some time off after that.
Cool. Thanks for the call, Angelo. Appreciate it. Yeah, there is that rumor. We'll talk to Dave about that. He reported that Ronda's
done after Mania.
Done full time, yeah. I think, is what we are really talking about here. Also, Mark Andrada now says that Cole actually mentioned that it was the four horsewomen symbol.
Oh,
so Michael
Cole
said
that. Okay.
I didn't hear that.
Okay.
Anyhow, I'm sure Mark was listening much more closely than me as
probably.
I typed a whole bunch of other things. Continuing on, we're going to do another phone call and then continue to run things down. And that would be Daryl, who's on the line from Uxbridge. Hey, Daryl, what'd you think?
I don't know, Jason. I'm more of a New Japan fan. I only watch WWE a couple times a year with my friends.
Yep.
First of all, Jeff Jarrett, if I were him, I'd pay a seamstress to sew in some more material in those windows in his
top. Well, that was a bit of a mistake wearing the old Double J costume, I think.
He had to wear it, though, but yeah, he could have modified that because it did not look great.
All he needed to do was have the hat with the big initials on it. I don't think he had to do the whole outfit.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah, you know, it was a good nostalgia thing, but I just wanted to express my disappointment in the Daniel Bryan AJ Styles match.
Well, certainly the ending. I hated the ending.
And those are two of my favorite guys. I've been watching them for years. They always put on great matches, and there was not a lot there to like sink my teeth into. You know what I mean?
Look, I'm gonna tell you, if you're coming at this as a New Japan fan, you're going to be disappointed.
And he doesn't always have great matches, in particular. AJ Styles is who I'm talking about, because we had this same problem with Nakamura in that feud. Those were terrible matches together.
In the WWE.
Yeah.
In New Japan, they had killer matches with each other, right?
Sure, but that was the expectation.
It just doesn't happen. It's a whole different thing. It's really apples and oranges. You really can't compare the two.
I guess. But, other than that, I actually enjoyed the Women's Rumble. I thought that was probably my highlight of the night, and that's what I'm going to go away with as my top pick.
And thank you very much for the phone call. Mouth, after, like, do you think it should have been the main event tonight? The Women's Rumble as opposed to the guys? I thought so going in and going out. I pretty much agree with what the callers are saying.
Yeah, I mean, I think people were more interested in that. I think with the guys, it's kind of just stale at the moment. And like Angelo said during his call, I think people are more excited for a lot of the stuff that the women are doing rather than the men at the moment.
So let's talk about the SmackDown Championship as we do part two of our rundown here.
Let's talk about this finish, because we keep saying how much we hated the finish of
so
this year.
So it's AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan, of course. This is when I realized we wouldn't be on at 11 o'clock, and I had to start texting and making plans and making sure the radio station and Meltzer were okay with us being an hour late
tonight.
That's
right.
An hour late?
Yes.
Like, come on, guys. Anyhow, they don't care. It's the WWE Network. So what did you think of this match as I was doing all the other things, Mel?
I thought the match was pretty good. I mean, it was started out heavy duty with Bryan working AJ's left arm. AJ got busted up hard way early on. And they were going back before, you know, between using the LaBelle lock and AJ using the calf crusher. I did think the crowd, again, wasn't quite as excited as I thought they would be in this match. And I thought it was going along fine until the silliness happened with Eric Rowan coming out. Like, he just comes out. He's just wearing a shirt with a T-shirt. He just wanders out. There's no reason. There's been no hint of anything like this. And the ref gets knocked out, and AJ uses the Styles Clash on Bryan. And then Rowan runs in. He attacks Styles. It's the classic thing. Then the ref wakes up, and Daniel Bryan pins AJ to keep the title. And it seemed to be, I wasn't even sure. Were they teasing an association
Oh, yeah.
between these two? So I guess,
well, notice what Rowan was wearing too. He's no longer a Bludgeon Brother.
No, that's done. Oh no, there was no mention of that. There was no even talk saying, oh, it's one of the Bludgeon Brothers. Anything like that. I think he's going to be his environmental henchman.
He is a vintner.
Yeah,
and I guess he does makes all organic wines.
Ah,
and I think that might be the angle here.
So that's again, they're going to take from that reality and mix that in. I mean,
no, I'm just saying that he came back as that vintner character a while ago, right?
Oh, stuff like this, I just wish I would like to see a little hint or something first. I don't like it, especially in a major match like this, where something like a guy that we haven't seen in months just wanders out with a whole new gimmick, and he's all of a sudden he's this guy's henchman. I didn't really like it. That to me is something you do on TV. It's not something you do in a major match like this. So that the ending really kind of ruined it for me. It kind of took all the steam out of the match for me.
Now, I don't know if it was because he was injured or it's because he's wearing different clothes now, but Eric Rowan looks like he's put on about 50 pounds.
Well, he probably hasn't had anything to do while he's been sitting it out, right?
He's just drinking the wine.
That's it, man.
Universal Championship is next. Brock Lesnar is your champion. Finn Balor is competing against him. I really, really like this.
Mm-hmm.
Finn attacks early. He's fast and furious.
Yes.
He ends up tossing Lesnar into his corner of the announce table. And Corey, we ragging him a lot, brings up the diverticulitis.
Yes.
How he had sensitivity there. All of that history that comes about.
Yeah, it was good.
There's a certain believability. On top of that, Mouth, what's Finn's finishing move?
Yeah, the
coup de grace,
which is going to hit the stomach with the diverticulitis. Yeah, with
this made so much sense.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. And the other thing, I think, again, especially at this point in the show, they kept it short. The match was not long. It was under 10 minutes. As Jay mentioned, Finn came out like on fire, went after him. The whole idea of Finn trying to stay on him, but Brock constantly stops him, although Brock is getting hurt from it as well. You know, Balor did 3 dives in a row to Brock on the outside, which were pretty amazing. And then he got the coup de grace on for a near fall. But then Brock got the Kimura lock on, he hasn't used in a long time. And the whole idea, the announcers did a great job of selling that he hasn't used that all the time. And then at the heat of battle, he just had to pull this out to kind of stop Finn. And that's what he did. And Finn tapped out. And I agree with you. I thought, you know, because we all know that Finn's not going to win the match, right? And at least he had a good showing and it was a well-booked kind of story. And it did kind of make sense. And it still keeps Brock incredibly strong, that's for sure.
Yeah, I thought this was done really well. Brock now also looks beatable by a smaller man, showing that vulnerability, which should play well into what's happening at WrestleMania if it does happen to be Seth Rollins.
The guy that won the Rumble,
right?
Yes.
Let's take a break here, Mouth. Then we're going to come back and get into the men's Royal Rumble. 1-866-729-2562. Sprinkling your calls on in as we are live tonight on TSN Radio. It's Sunday night's main event, and it is the Royal Rumble night.
As Balor goes up to the top rope, looking for the coup de grace. Championship! Ballard and Slay, the Beast, and Lesnar gets the shoulder up!
No, Kimura! Oh. The Kimura's in!
The submission! The Kimura lock that Brock Lesnar has put in the arms of Triple H and Shawn Michaels in the past! Try to do that to Ballard tonight! Lesnar with a Kimura lock, get it! Ballard taps out! Big Ballard taps out!
Well, there you have it. That was the finish. No demon means he cannot stand up to the Kimura, but using that was great because it is something that is fresh enough for people to remember, and they made such a big deal of it when Lesnar came back and he did a Triple H, and he was all about breaking arms for a while, but we haven't seen it for a while.
No,
but it was like it's desperation by the champ. Here we go.
Yeah, I liked
Let's go for the arm.
I liked it because in that way it still makes Finn looked like a threat to him, you know, and he had to pull out something that he hasn't had to use in a long time to beat the guy. So, yeah, I thought that was good.
Well, Mouth, let's head to the men's Royal Rumble as we're using the first hour, going back and forth, taking your phone calls, and along with that, running down the epic Royal Rumble. Had to be the longest Royal Rumble show of all time.
Oh, yeah, it's never been this long. No way.
I thought we were going to have the longest pay-per-view, but someone did message in and say WrestleMania went past
midnight one year, and I remember that because I had to go on the air alone as all of you guys stayed and were just watching the pay-per-view, and I just complained for 15 minutes about how less is more, WWE. Stop it!
That's right.
Men's Royal Rumble, Elias is number one. I laughed out loud at this and also got very excited because I had made a bold prediction of, since they're in Phoenix, that the Honky Tonk Man lives in Arizona.
Yes.
And you'd have dueling guitars. Well, we got dueling guitars, but we did not get the Honky Tonk Man. Instead, it was Jeff Jarrett. We talked about how bad he looked in these tights. It was a funny spot.
Yep.
It made
exactly.
total sense.
Yep. Yep.
You know, you like to have a bit of the nostalgia pop in the Rumble, and this was just fine, and I think people wanted this, and I liked
it. People like to see at least one or two old guys in the Rumble. It's, like you say, it's fun. You don't get to see them very often, and it's the natural thing because, I mean, a lot of people think of Elias as kind of the new Double J anyway, so it was kind of nice. I mean, he could have had the roadie with him, though, because he works for the company still.
He does. He does indeed. Jarrett gets tossed, I think, as Nakamura was coming into the ring.
Yeah,
he hit him
with the guitar and tossed him over the top rope.
They did a whole spiel. It was fun.
Yeah.
Nakamura's three, Angle's four, Big E's five. Kurt Angle's then eliminated by Nakamura.
Fast.
Nakamura, by the way, who, you know, was your winner from last year, and along with it's already won tonight, seems to be having quite a lovely evening as he tosses out Kurt Angle really quick. I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care. Kurt Angle can't last long in a match, but I did not expect him to get tossed out pretty well immediately after he came out.
We continue on then. Johnny Gargano is number six, which is as surprising as last year's choice of Adam Cole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we got Andrade Cien Almas last year as well, now known as Andrade. Jinder Mahal, number seven. Mahal's immediately tossed by Gargano. Samoa Joe comes in. Big E is tossed by Samoa Joe. And then Curt Hawkins comes in, and we get silly again here because Hawkins goes under the ring. Seth Rollins comes out at number 10. Elias is eliminated by Seth.
Yep.
I actually thought they were going to have Elias stick around a little bit longer. And then Titus O'Neil. This was fun. I mean, you knew they were going to make fun of the world slide, right?
Exactly. They Vince loves that kind of stuff. And the fact that it happened, they're just poor Titus. They're just going to rib him about it constantly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they had him out. They talked all about it. They showed the clip from last year.
Well, they had him run to the ring, too, right?
Yeah.
And then slow down.
Yeah, exactly. He slowed down as he got closer. But then he still ended up going underneath the ring. And then he came back in with Hawkins, who eliminated him.
Yeah.
Very quickly, and then Joe eliminated Hawkins right afterwards.
Then Kofi Kingston comes out, Mustafa Ali comes out, and it's the Mustafa Ali show for a while.
They gave him a good push in this.
Yeah, until he was eliminated.
Yeah, but still, they let him in. He's in for a long time.
Yeah, until he was eliminated. By Nia Jax.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Ridiculous.
That's true.
It's like all the good they did was removed by who he was eliminated by.
Yeah, you're in there for 25 minutes, but then Nia eliminates you. Yeah, it's not too good.
But yes, they gave him a nice run here. I agree with you.
Well, he did. He got to eliminate Nakamura pretty well right away.
Dean Ambrose is out next. Then they do the Kofi spot. It involves rolling on the ground with his feet on the side of the ring. Way better in the women's match. Johnny Gargano was then eliminated by Ambrose, which was disappointing to me because Johnny Gargano should not be eliminated by Ambrose. Ambrose is nothing.
That's very true. Compared to what Gargano did like the night before at the TakeOver show, right?
So Johnny Gargano got Dean Ambrosed, everybody.
Yeah.
No Way Jose is next. And do we know if he has broken the Santino Marella record?
I would say yes. I'd say I'm so upset by this because when Jay and I were making our picks last week, I really was thinking about this guy and then I changed it at the last minute. I should have went with my instincts because they did exactly what I thought they would do with him. He just comes out with his silly Congo line, gets up there, and then Joe threw him out instantly. And I honestly think it was quicker than the Santino one.
I kind of hope not, but I think you're right.
It's going to be like 0.5 of a second or something.
Drew McIntyre is next, then Xavier Woods. They do another Kofi spot. They kind of screw this up because Kofi goes to jump on Xavier and Xavier drops him, but Kofi does manage to keep one foot up.
That's right.
Then McIntyre tosses Xavier and Kofi. Then we get interesting. We see Pete Dunne, which is very surprising. He gets a solid run here as well. Andrade comes out. Then Apollo, then Aleister Black. Dean Ambrose is eliminated by Aleister Black. I love the fact that Aleister Black is here.
And believe it or not, I don't actually have a problem with the way he was eliminated, and we'll get there. Shelton Benjamin comes out. That was weird.
There was a bunch here. Like, when you toss guys like Apollo Crews and Shelton Benjamin and, like, guys that
Well, Crews is at least getting a push, and you see him every week.
Yeah, Benjamin we haven't seen in, like, months. I don't even remember the last time we saw him.
Well, Michael Cole couldn't tell him apart.
That was bad. Yeah, that was bad.
So Joe is then eliminated by Mustafa Ali. That was excellent.
Yeah, well, great, because, I mean, they got the feud going. It just keeps the feud going, right?
Baron Corbin comes out. Apollo is eliminated by Corbin. Jeff Hardy's out. Aleister Black is eliminated by Corbin. Now, you're going to be like, Agnew, why don't you have a problem with this? No, because Aleister Black's done with NXT. Dave and I talked a lot about this on last night's podcast. He shows up on Raw tomorrow night, and he ends up destroying Corbin.
Yep. Yep.
And that's your first, I mean, he's got to carry Corbin.
Yep.
But you destroy Corbin with Black, and Black moves on, and Black is off NXT now, and he is a Raw character.
Yep.
Providing you do that, I have no problem with this. Yeah, if you don't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
This is terrible.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think he's more than ready to get up there on the main roster, and this is a good way to bring him in, yeah.
We then continue on. Pete Dunne is eliminated by McIntyre. I have no problem with that because McIntyre is on your main roster, and those guys did work very well together. They did a lot of the hand spots, you know, as Pete Dunne does with the joint manipulation. Yep. Mysterio comes out. Lashley comes out. Lashley is very quickly eliminated by Rollins.
I was really surprised by that. I don't know, especially since Vince loves big, huge guys. I'm just surprised that he would let Lashley get treated so lightly in the Rumble like this. I would at least have left him in for a little while.
I guess it was just an excuse to make him get mad and then remove Rollins from the match by beating him down outside, which is what happened next, because you just kind of lost track of Rollins was just on the outside
out and put him through the announce table, right? So he just kind of is chilling there while we get to the end.
Braun Strowman is out next. Corbin, Benjamin is both eliminated by Strowman. Then Hardy's eliminated. I didn't catch by who, though. Dolph Ziggler comes out. Hey, guys, surprise. Dolph Ziggler is here. All of those rumors about him taking time off, it seems like he Jericho'd everybody with his Twitter. Then Randy Orton's 29. They do a big tower spot here.
Yeah, well, you missed it. Ziggler eliminated Drew almost immediately.
Oh, yeah, sorry. That's right. Like, yeah, McIntyre's...
That really surprised me. That was a major surprise. Yes. A, I'd picked Drew to win. And B, Ziggler, I mean, I know they've had the feud, but that was pretty well done and buried, I thought. And this almost looks like something like is going to continue coming out of this. So I was very, very surprised that Ziggler would eliminate Drew. I thought Drew would toss him out as soon as he got out there.
I really think Ziggler needed to. I mean, if he was going to leave, cool. If not, he needed to go away for a while because he's been kind of thrown out there so many times, not necessarily repackaged,
but
just like, hey, now I'm this guy.
But he's had so many stop start. And after you do that so many times, people don't care.
Yep. 29's Randy Orton. They do a great tower spot here, is what I was saying, with Braun Strowman as your base, and then Ali, Mysterio, and Andrade. Strowman posts himself because he does that every match. R-Truth is number 30. I hated this.
Yeah.
So much.
Not so crazy about this.
He's taken out by Nia Jax. And then Nia Jax gets in the ring and Mustafa Ali is eliminated by Nia Jax.
Yep.
If you are going to put, listen, I know you didn't like the idea, Mouth, but if you're going to put a woman into the Men's Royal Rumble.
Yeah, you wanted Becky.
Becky Lynch.
Yeah, you want.
And she wins. Yeah. Not this.
You know what? I don't know if I would have liked that either, though. Especially not winning it.
I would have liked it better than this.
I don't know if I would have liked her winning the match. I mean, I certainly didn't like this either.
Well, this is telltale sign of what's happening right now.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about the Attitude Era extensively over the past 2 weeks and the return vignettes they were doing in the hotel room and Alexa Bliss.
Peeing on robes.
This is another aspect of that where...
Man on woman.
Orton has to sell for Nia. She picks up Ray. Dolph super kicks her first. Randy Orton RKOs Nia Jax.
Yep.
And then they toss her out together, Randy and Ray, and then Randy eliminates Ray. Andrade eliminates Orton, which I liked a lot.
Yes,
I caught big for that.
I did too.
Dolph and Andrade are left. Strowman and Rollins are on the outside, so that is your final four. Andrade eliminated by Strowman. Ziggler by Strowman. Strowman and Rollins are the final two. I thought, even though it was predictable in regards to who won with Rollins, there was doubt in my mind whether it was going to be one of these two guys. Yep. and by integrating the curb stomp on the apron for your elimination.
Yep.
I thought that was good.
I liked it. I mean, yeah. It looked cool. It was a cool way to get rid of him. You know, you got the whole thing with Braun's hanging on, and he's down there, and he gives him the curb stomp, and he just falls off, and Rollins wins. I mean, you picked Rollins to win. Most people were picking Rollins to win. So in that way, it wasn't much of a surprise. So there you go. It looks like, I'm guessing, you know, Rollins, or I mean, it's going to be Rollins and Brock.
Rollins and Brock, I think so as well. I mean, I kind of like the idea of Rollins and Daniel Bryan,
yeah,
but I do think it's Rollins and Brock. And that, you know, then who is Daniel Bryan's opponent? Is it still AJ Styles?
See, that
at WrestleMania?
Well, you could, because you have this thing that Eric Rowan kind of screwed him and helped win the match, right? So to me, that means feud's not over.
Let's do one phone call before we take a break here at the top of the hour. I want to squeeze this in. Paul from New Jersey has been waiting. Paul, got to do quick, but what'd you think of the show tonight?
I really liked it. I know it was predictable, but I'm glad Seth and Becky won. And I don't use the term X-Pac heat. I just say Jeff Jarrett heat, because I could never stand this guy.
Okay.
And I can't believe he was. I would have rather seen Rockabilly, to tell you the truth. It's not that he's not a talented wrestler. I just can't stand him. And I don't know why the wrestling gods keep putting this guy on TV.
Well, I don't think you're going to see him. I don't think you're going to see him again. I mean, this was just a quick little nostalgic thing. I don't think there's any reason to get all up in arms. It's not like you're going to see him on TV every week now.
No, I thought it was appropriate for what they were doing. Thanks for the phone call. We do got to take a break here at the top of the hour. Appreciate it, though. Hansi, we'll get to you in the next hour. I know you're on the line now. But yeah, the guitar thing, right? I mean, it's either Honky Tonk, Jarrett, and Elias. And
yeah,
I like the throwback. And I've been kind of waiting to see if they were going to go that direction and do something.
Yeah, you got to have, I think the show always needs to have one or two old guys in there just for that kind of fun, bring someone back, you know?
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Dave Meltzer is going to join us. Turnbuckle Trivia in our next hour as well. More of your phone calls. And yeah, we'll tell you who won our six-pack challenge and who's drinking beer tonight. It is Sunday night's main event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio. Well, that's hour one of Sunday night's main event, and each and every week, hour two includes the Wrestling Observer Insider with Dave Meltzer, Turnbuckle Trivia, Feedback, and often the Triple Threat is in the second hour as well. If you'd like to hear it, just visit patreon.com/SNMEradio and become a patron. Contributions start at for as little as $4 a month. And that also includes our patron-exclusive podcast that I often mention on the show. Once again, patreon.com/SNMEradio.